here I go, here I go, here I go. Hey, listeners. And a special hey, hi, and hello to all you patrons out there, the people that support the Wallen family week after week until we one day get that coveted reality show. In the meantime, between time, we'd like to shout out Maria, Mickey Johnson, Ava, Daniela, Ashley, Baker, Brandon, Tori Williams, Danielle, Ariana, Grace, Jeff, and Kate. Remember, patrons, you can be a patron for just $1, $2, $5, even 78 cents a month if you click the link in the episode description notes. Why do I think you're looking at me right now? I'm going to continue. Also, patrons, we give out one book per month. This month, we're giving away Black Sun by Rebecca Roanhouse. Is it house or horse?
Roanhorse.
Roanhorse. Now, let's get started with the show. Move your mic so people can see your facial expressions. And she's directing. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Sci under the Believe Podcast Network. It's a podcast about Black science fiction, Black fantasy, and staying on the same page as a family. Today, for episode 89, we'll be discussing the film Little, directed by Tina Gordon, starring Regina Hall, Issa Rae, and the beloved Marseille Martin. And we had a great time watching that movie. But before we get into that movie, Benjamin James Wallen III, how are you doing today?
Doing great. I was just wondering, when did I'm going to take a nap turned into I'm going to be on my phone and scroll through TikToks?
Everybody knows Rasputia Lattimore is fine. And everybody knows, hey, I'm going to take a quick nap means I'm going to do whatever I need to do. So whether that's scrolling mindlessly on the internet, filing my nails, taking an actual nap, that is what a nap is.
Okay. So we procrastinated in filming today and recording today. I had everything set up and Amber said, I want to take a nap real quick.
Just a quick nap.
And we were reading outside on the patio, having a great time. And I was like, oh, no, really? Like, fine, whatever. And then I go in and... Well, I go back outside to read again because I have the stamina to read more than 10 minutes. And I go out and then I hear her call, Ben, come in here. Watch these two TikTok videos. And I was like, Amber, weren't you supposed to be taking a nap?
First off, everyone knows TikTok is a team sport, okay? You can't just scroll by yourself. You have to scroll and then share with somebody, maybe a roommate, maybe a lover, maybe your mother. I don't know, but you have to share something when you find something really good. Right. So one day, maybe they're just going to be me and Wiggles. But this is the thing about you. You also get mad when I be snickering to myself and you're like, well, let me see. That's what you do. Right. Second of all, if I need a break from reading, that's okay.
That's I'm totally a new fine. Mom. Yeah. You're a new mom.
I'm an old
wife.
It's very
clear you're a new mom.
I need these breaks throughout the day. I'm sorry. I'm pumping for your child, all while being beautiful and fabulous and funny every day. So I'm sorry.
Very hard life
that
for
I
you.
Took 20 minutes to myself to just laugh on the internet, or as Alicia calls it, the net. Okay.
Alicia, so, wait, who?
My sister.
Oh, she calls it the
she
net.
She's like, girl, did you see what was on the net today? I was like. The entire internet?
Well, that's
no,
what they,
I did not see. Why don't you send me what was on the net?
They called it the net for like ever.
I know, but I just think the net 90s. Means something specific. Like the net for my sister kind of means like, did you see what was going on Black TikTok today? You know, it's just very like, it feels like the new word for like the neighborhood or whatever.
You started a transition today or within the past week. Yeah, you moved from wild sucking on your breast to now you're a full-time pumper.
I am. Yeah, she's no longer nursing. I had to quit doing that shit.
Why?
It hurts.
Don't you miss being closer to your baby?
I'm close to her. Ben is being sarcastic for those who are not looking at the YouTube, but you know, there's this myth that if you're not breastfeeding, there's this myth that breastfeeding moms are closer to their kids, and that's just not true.
if you spend time with your kid, you're close to your kid. So I found myself being like, dang, I really don't want to breast. I've been waiting my whole life to be a mom, and now I'm over breastfeeding. And now I'm like, nah, because now that I got the bottles in the middle of the night, like, I can wake Ben up and be like, go give her a bottle.
Yep.
It's not just on me.
I've been the one sleeping next to Wild and waking up and sort of grabbing her and bringing her up and putting on Star Trek. It's been nice to catch up old Star Trek episodes.
So. I mean, and she's mostly been sleeping through the night.
She has been.
She might want a bottle around like midnight or 11, but we got her on that feeding schedule, baby, because we are super parents. Speaking of which, she's giving us a bit of a show right now. Ben, you talk. You talk about reviews. I'm going to get her.
All right. So, yeah, we had a fantastic iTunes review. If you like this show, like what we're talking about, or if you don't like what we're talking about but still enjoy us, you should go give us a 5-star, 6-star review. And here is a fantastic review from your favorite Gemini fan. Hey, I know you've probably seen me in your DMs lately. My name is Serenity, and I absolutely love y'all's podcast. I've been diagnosed with bipolar disorder for a few years now. Y'all podcast has kept me sane some nights when my mind is spinning. I love learning about Black authors and just focusing on something positive. Thank you all for creating content and staying so open with us. Wishing you peace and blessings. Thank you so much, Serenity.
I'm sorry. What is going on with my headphone right now? Help me. Help me.
Look at this. Oh, whoops. Oh, dang.
Right? I was fidgeting with Wild, and then I was like, wait, I'm for real stuck. All right, it's a family show. Hold on.
You have a binky?
Well, okay, here it goes.
Oh, don't pick it up with your foot. Why would you pick up a binky with your foot?
Because I was going to pause, and then I was... No, no, don't still give it to her, no! Go wash it.
All right. Thank you so much, Serenity, for that amazing review. That just really brightened our day. We really do try to keep it light, and if we have too serious of a conversation, Amber reels me back in, you know? It's like, yes. And it's hard at this time, right? Like, there's so many terrible news stories all the time. You know, political scientists are giving like a 62% chance within 10 years there's going to be widespread political violence in the United States. And we just really want to keep things positive.
And Lori Harvey and Michael B. Jordan broke up. It's chaos out here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, they were only dating for like a year, but we love to see it. But on to the next. People break up sometimes.
Yeah,
I tell people that all the time. Somebody messaged me today, and I just wanted to be like, just get a divorce. This is too much text to read, you know? And then if y'all make up, just remarry. What's the big deal? If we're ever that bad, we're going to get a divorce, right? And then just remarry.
No, because that costs a lot of money.
So I'm worth it. You're worth it.
Divorce lawyers and then getting married again costs more money. I don't know.
We'll stay married.
And then just move separately.
I'll crowdfund the divorce. Our haters will—they'll fund it. I'm sorry, Ben. I'm sorry for joking about divorce. You know I lose.
No, joke all you want. You're never getting one, even if you want one.
Oh,
just kidding. No,
that got dark.
I mean, like, run away from it, or I'll leave the house. But divorce is just too much money. Like, come on, I'm cheap. My grandfather grew up in the Great Depression. I mowed his lawn for him. He paid me 25 cents
per blade?
Per blade.
You made out like a bandit if it was per blade.
No, per time I mowed.
Your grandpa actually gave you a single quarter every time you mowed the lawn?
No, I think he paid me pretty well. He paid me pretty well. He would tell me stories about sneaking in and seeing Charlie Chaplin movies.
Oh.
Yeah, they called it. He remembers when they started introducing the talkies. He called them talkies.
He probably attended a minstrel show in his day, huh?
Probably. Well, he grew up in the Bronx, so maybe not. I don't know if minstrel shows were happening in New York City at the time. They probably were.
Underground somewhere. That's all right.
Let's move on to the wonderful section. The patrons got a point.
Pew, 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 pew.
So Father's Day is coming up. And Ben, I did pretty well for Mother's Day.
You did a great job for Mother's Day.
And how do we know that? How do we know I did well? Because
we record it. We record everything.
And but also the patrons told us I did pretty well. There
you
was a lot of
love.
I did. I tried to see what they thought. And
well, remind the people what you did.
So I did like three different things. So the first thing I did was I signed up for a massage for you and my mom to go to. And so the mothers got to have some bonding time. I took care of Wiggles, aka Wild. The second thing I did is I had our organization specialist come in, do a deep clean, sort of help me like figure out some things, more things to get rid of. That was awesome. And then the third thing I did is I took you out for a really nice, we went out to for a really great brunch, like a Mother's Day brunch. So that was a lot of fun. But we mentioned that already and stuff. I remember, I think I said that.
I know. I just, it I might be up. Somebody's first time listening to us speak
but,
to one
but
of
also, them. Yeah, I there were two locations for this brunch spot, and I took you to the wrong location that I made the reservation for. They still fit us in though. So that was
yeah, but nice. That's you. But you know how you are.
Anyway, Tanya,
some sort of mishap.
Tanya said, your hubby did amazing. My grown children know that their mother is a nerd and love all things cartoon. For Mother's Day, I received a beautiful rose in a glass case, an exact replica from the movie Beauty and the Beast. That's a great idea. That's actually really creative.
And how personal.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Monica, and this was a question we were asking what other people got for Mother's Day. Monica said, I gifted myself a Mother's Day retreat from Texas to the Pacific Ocean to pray, reflect, and paint. Sunrise and sunset were amazing. I love this idea of giving gifts to yourself. People need to do that. Give a gift to yourself every single day, because this is something
you know, I love treating myself.
Yeah, but you also call me selfish when I try to treat myself. You're like, you're selfish. And I'm like, no. I have to take care of myself first. It's self first, not selfish. It's self first.
You know, that's not what we talk about. We talk about when you spend 3 hours reading and I need some help with the baby. But carry on, since you think it's appropriate to do that. Also, you know, these retreats, I've been really watching my religious cults. I've been in my religious cult TV show, True Crime Bag, and I was watching this one Hulu show called The Deep End about this lady who's like a spiritual advisor, and she hosts these like $5,000 retreats, where it's mostly people just like thinking. And well, I'm not going to say that I'm not going to say that her healing powers don't work, but she claims to basically like help cure you of your childhood trauma and things like that. It's a creepy documentary, and it's filmed very interesting as well. But
I think there's a wide range of retreats though.
I know. I'm just saying, the minute I read that person went to a retreat to pray and reflect and paint, I was like, oh my God, I wonder if she went to the same retreat. Just, you know, just my dramatic brain said to that.
That would be quite the connection. I actually want to go on a yoga retreat with you. I think
that would be dope.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Do you think we could we ever go on like a silent retreat? We should just go for the views.
I don't think you could. I could.
What's that supposed to mean?
You communicate through talking.
I know how to be silent. I've given you the silent treatment.
Well, you give me the silent treatment, but this is a silent retreatment.
Right.
You don't know how to silent retreat for yourself. You know how to silent treat others, but not for yourself.
If I pay a good chunk of money, I could be silent. Can you talk in your room? You could talk in your room, can't you? On the silent retreat?
No, the point is not to talk at all.
It might be really nice, though, because I don't talk during yoga class.
I think
it's
very
cleansing.
Nice. Yeah, yoga classes are an hour. Some of these are for a week. I had a coworker do it for a week, stayed silent for a week.
What did they say about it?
You know him, Reggie.
Dang, why you putting Reggie business out there like that? I'm just kidding. Oh. Well, you've had lots of different jobs, so you don't.
Yeah, yeah. So, but you,
what did
you
Reggie
know
think
him.
Of the retreat?
He was like, he came back super zen and relaxed, and was like, this is awesome. You work with people who do retreats. There's a yoga instructor we were talking about. She does retreats. I would love to do a retreat.
Oh, my dream is to host a yoga retreat. I think I could do it too, because now I have the certification to do it. But I just, if it was silent, that would be.
I don't think you should. I don't think silent. Some people have their gifts. Silence is not yours.
Because even meditation is very hard for me, because all the thoughts are racing through my mind. But anyway, what's the last Mother's Day gift? I got your back for Father's Day, but you try to take it over.
You know what? I read this comment by Darlene Gross. She said, "My Mother's Day was awesome. My three adult children made dinner and gifted me with a facial at my favorite spot." And when I came to the phrase, "my three adult children," like, I'm eventually going to have an adult child. Like, oh God.
That's the best part.
Yeah, no, because adult children have adult problems. Like, wonder if, you know, there's divorce and then there's conflict and, you know, there's, God forbid, drug abuse and other things, you know? Not speaking that, but it's just, you have to deal with, like, your children don't stop being your children even when they become adults. And I know that, and, like, obviously, and you hear people say that, but I think that's just started to click when I read that. Because they're, like, adult children still gift things for their parents on these kinds of holidays, so. But it's still stressful.
But you have to surrender, Ben.
Surrender to what?
To wanting to be in control all the time, like you always tell me.
Oh, no, I don't want to be controlled. It's just a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah. There's a new leveling of anxiety about the future now. But anxious, excited as well.
No, I'm just anxious.
Yeah, you've been more anxious lately, which...
I gotta stop reading the news. Like, right before we got on, I told Amber this, like, terrible story that I'm not gonna bring up because there's so many great things, awesome things that are happening. Especially Pride Month is here, and so I just finished reading a book called Master of Jinn, and the main character, Fatma, is a queer woman who dresses in, like, tuxedos and has a girlfriend, and it's really great. It's a really good book. So there's so many great things to focus on, to be celebratory of, like adult children giving you gifts
and pride
and pride
and your first Father's Day coming up.
I'm super pumped.
Being a dad? She's asleep, so you can be honest.
It's pretty, she's terrible. No, she's so cute. Look at her. Oh my goodness. Oh,
I know.
So great.
She's
I don't
she's
mind her.
Pretty wonderful. But yeah, I have some things planned for your first Father's Day, and we're gonna make it memorable, and you'll probably cry. It's gonna be great.
Yeah.
Anyway,
should we talk about this fantastic movie? Yes. Little,
speaking of growing up and big and all whatever, so why don't you talk about Little?
Marseille Martin is amazing.
Icon. She is the moment.
Role model. You know, I was looking up facts about her. She's the youngest executive producer in Hollywood. How do you feel about your life right now? She's done more in her short years of living than you've done in your 30. How old are you? 31 years?
Well, I'll lose that fight to a beautiful young black girl.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
So I feel like very excited about it.
Do you get jealous of people? Do you get jealous of people just in general? Do you get jealous?
Do I get jealous of people? Of course.
Or like when little, I remember when little, there's some people are like, oh, when little kids are very successful, adults are like, ugh, you know.
No, they feel bad about wouldn't be jealous of a child.
Yeah. But some people are.
Really?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Who here has ever been jealous of a child?
This is a live show now.
I haven't. I don't get jealous of children.
I'm trying to see in what world would I be jealous of a child.
Like Justin Bieber.
No,
Justin Bieber got a lot of hate from.
Is it jealousy, you know, though?
I think it's probably jealousy. When he was a kid, you know, it's, or like young stars.
I get jealous of contemporaries.
Mm.
So if I see someone with similar stats as myself, with the same level of training and comedy chops as myself, and they're getting like red carpet opportunities and I'm at the house, I'm just like, that's interesting. Like what's going on there? Not so much jealous, but so much like, who did they get in contact with that I didn't or something? Like, I'm very curious. I'm slightly jealous. I'm jealous first, but secondly curious. So then I'll start being like, okay, who's their agent? Who's their manager? What city do they live in? Oh, they live in LA. Maybe that's why I didn't get the opportunity or whatever.
Yeah.
But sometimes they be having like stat for stat. You like, know
what did I do differently? I see like, what you're okay, saying.
I got married to Ben.
Is it
maybe
jealous?
That's what called me back. You know, I just start thinking about all these things.
Also, Marseille Martin owns her own production company called
now
Genius Productions.
That's not right. I'm just kidding.
Maybe you can work for her.
Right. Well, I know that, like, as cute as that is, you know, it's like whenever a kid's business goes viral or something, I'm like, this is so precious that this, like, 12-year-old child invented this way to fix Detroit's water problem. But I know that, like, there is a parent doing a lot of hustling at night. Behind. Like, you know what I mean? So, yeah. So it's nice that, like, Marseille gets to be the face of this company, I will say. That, but you know, there's some adult there's adults burning the midnight oil, getting zero credit.
One of my students, who I loved, fantastic student, one of the most incredible students I've ever had, she won Master Chef Junior a little while back.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like, Ben, you know, Mr. Wallen, you're like one of my favorite teachers.
Oh, that's what she said.
Yeah.
So she just so happened, you just so happened to also be her favorite teacher, guys.
Yeah, no, she was great. But I know her parents did a lot of work for her. Like,
of course.
A lot of, like, helped her run her Instagram and everything. So that is very true.
Like, beyond teaching her how to cook, they probably helped her enter the contest on time. Like,
but also just marketing and teaching her how to do interviews and teaching her how to, you know, respond to bullshit. Like,
yeah.
That's nice.
Do you believe in child prodigies?
Do I believe in them? Like, yeah. they exist.
Yeah. Or do you think it's like, this is a parent who is like skill and like, kind of like if you've seen like the Tiger Woods documentary, it's like, do you think this person is a phenom, or do you think there's just some parent in the wing, like drilling and drilling and drilling and drilling?
Well, it's the mixture of both, obviously.
Okay.
Right. Like there's some
have an affinity.
Yeah.
For
like
it, and then
Mozart's father was a musician, but Mozart also was an incredible musician, right? So it's mm-hmm. the perfect mixture of two. But there are also children who are born who are prodigies, who are really good at something and they don't have the parental support.
Really? Know?
Yeah, for sure.
I can see that, yeah.
Like painters and stuff and artists and music singers.
See it, but it's not likely that they'll
They might not go that far. They might not get known because you parents are your first like PR managers.
Yeah. For sure. Well, Marseille is still an icon, and we love her, and we really love her parents for bringing her to us on the big screen.
Yeah, so this film is about a video game company exec who's an asshole who hates carbs, and we're introduced to this woman who's played by Regina Hall, who is...
Yeah, her name's Jordan Sanders.
Mm-hmm. Jordan Sanders, very funny. She has sort of an assistant played by Issa Rae. Issa Rae, fantastic. And so one day, Regina Hall's character, Jordan, decides to kick out a donut truck who also happened, the donut truck owner happens to have this little girl who is being, you know, mistreated by Jordan. And the little girl uses literally her black girl magic,
Yay!
The little black girl, to turn Regina Hall's character into a little girl.
It's like, I wish you were little like me.
So that you'd understand what it feels like to have people step and stomp all over you. And so the rest of the movie is, you know, Jordan trying to figure out, okay, why am I little? How do I stop being little? And trying to run her company as a little person who also has to go back to middle school and deal mm-hmm. with all the drama and trauma of middle school,
which middle school pretty much is the worst part of your life. If I was forced to go back, I would not choose my middle school era. I tell you that much.
All right. So this is part of a long list of films where children become adults too quickly or adults become children. So you got Little, you got Big, 13 going on 30, and 17 again.
Mm-hmm.
Why do these movies exist, Amber? Like, why? What's something in the American psyche to create movies like this? Like, what human thing?
I don't know. We like a do-over. For
the need for a do-over?
The need for a do-over, or the need to sort of, like, embrace our inner child or go back to childhood to learn a lesson. But we also like... we like a transformation. So it is just funny to see Tom Hanks acting like a 12-year-old.
Yeah. And it's funny to watch America. Marseille to act like Regina, like Regina
boss,
Hall,
like literally, yeah, at the middle school. So we like putting one character completely out of their element on a different timeline. I mean, we like why do you like Doctor Who? There's this,
the positivity, the uplifting nature of it.
But you don't like the time travel element?
Not so much. And
you lie.
The time travel aspect of Doctor Who, especially in the more recent seasons, it's not a big part of it. Like, you time travel to some location in time, but really the location, this the physical space becomes more meaningful than the time travel. There are time travel episodes where you meet, you know, like Charles Dickens and such and things like that. But those episodes, I don't find the most intriguing.
Well, I was in here, you know, I'm not a big Doctor Who fan, or I don't watch a lot of it, rather I say. I tried to come in here and give it a chance when Ben was watching it with his mom. And it just so happened that it was the episode where, like, they had traveled to, like, Jim Crow South. And I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, which is the
like,
first.
Is that Rosa Parks? I'm like, what?
Rosa, the episode Rosa, which that's the first time they've really dealt explicitly with Jim Crow South and the racism. American racism.
And Jim
like
Crow,
that.
Or is that the first time?
In Jim
or,
Crow.
Or, I'm sorry, in Doctor Who.
In Doctor Who. When they go to America, it's not in that context. So that was sort of like a revolutionary episode.
So it's not really about the time travel?
That episode turned out to be, but the aliens aspect of it, and the idea that we have this savior, this alien who is somehow enraptured by the insanity of humanity for some reason. And every time for me, I get really down about humans, Doctor Who sort of celebrates humanity, you know, in a really beautiful way.
God. Are you about to cry?
No, it's just I have cried multiple times at Doctor Who, because it does show, like, humans, y'all are, you know, you're just awful, but you still persevere. And it's very positive, but not to get too
and
off track.
I'm just kidding.
Not to get too. I was thinking about that. So it's like this need for a do-over.
Yeah, why do we love big to littles and littles to big kind of trope movies so much? Even like Back to the Future. Like, what's the deal?
Yeah, Back to the Future. I think this is a very specific. I guess there's a level of time travel element. I didn't even think of that genre as being a form of time travel. Right, because she is reverting back to a younger self. So her physical body time traveled, but her location in history remained the same. Ooh, that's interesting. Huh. Yeah, were you like...
Well, before... So I'll be honest. I hadn't seen Big before we watched it recently. I'd seen a couple of scenes, obviously, mm-hmm. like the F.A.L. Schwartz iconic scene, but I didn't really watch it. So I thought in the movie that it would be sort of similar to 13 going on 30.
Does she time travel in 13 going on?
Yes, she does.
But she doesn't have any memory what happened between 13 and 30, correct?
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
Got it.
So in my brain, I was like, well, how the F is, you know, is Tom Hanks going to jump forward, you know? Like, I thought Tom Hanks was going to be in the future.
Oh, yeah. But his physical body.
His physical, because I was like, oh, my God, are they going to imagine what cell phones are going to be like or whatever? So that's a different way they could have done it. But they didn't. I was like, oh, he's just going to be big, like, the next day.
Watching this, it felt refreshingly, like, new, even though I've seen Big multiple times. It's, you know, one of my favorite kinds of movies. And it felt like, oh, this kind of specific genre, there's a lot of more things you could do with it. Like, the one aspect you made me think of, this idea of going back in time to middle school, is terrifying.
Horrible.
Like, you can actually create a horror film where, like, an adult has to go back to their middle school self, and you start realizing this is terror, like, psychological, and you sort of treat it like a Guantanamo Bay kind of situation.
like
being waterboarded inside the bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, there are so much torturous things. Like,
no matter how much of a boss you think you are, like, that's what little is really about. No matter how much of a boss you think you are, if you walk into a middle school, they're going to show you who you are.
Yeah,
which is a nobody.
You.
And I mean, and you know, you teach middle school. So those kids will give you a run for your money. Those kids will send you home crying at night. So I love the fact that, like, no matter how much of a boss Jordan is, like, she still gets it handed to her when she goes back to Windsor Middle School. That, like, that's the worst part of her transformation, having to go to school.
She's like, I don't want to go to school.
Yeah, it's like, it's not the drinking. It's not the, like, wow, I can't, like, have sex with my little, you know, my little D-boy anymore. It's...
She calls him D-boy, too. Yeah. Regina Hall is so fucking funny in this movie.
She is. But Marseille Martin carries. Like, yeah. she's definitely a great actor and, like, a comedian we should be looking out for. And Issa, I mean, we all know Issa Rae's funny, but I think as Awkward Black Girl became insecure, Issa was sort of forced to be a little bit more serious. Not forced, but she was probably... It was probably suggested to her to say, like, hey, why don't you try some more dramatic roles or, like, but, make some highs and lows in this show. But she really is just a comedian at heart.
But I think Insecure sort of was a dramatic show. And so her character had to go through this arc and had to do things that weren't always funny because that's what her character would do. They sort of tried to make it realistic where the first season with her conversations with herself through the mirror were more comedic. And the tone of Insecure ended up changing by season two, season three to a straight drama. But watching her here, I was reminded of a lot of the scenes in the earlier Insecure seasons, mm-hmm. Where like, she like
this is
talks
why we
to
love
herself.
Issa Rae. Yeah, yes.
But Issa Rae does this thing where she like mumbles to herself, and it's so funny. Like she'll be like, especially when it comes to like objectifying men, she'll like objectify men underneath her voice, underneath, you know, or like there's just
like,
this,
you can tie me up,
yeah,
they're like, excuse me, no, nothing, I was just, oh look, a bird, like, yeah. She's really good at that comedy.
When she first a great scene, she first takes because, you know, Jordan has to convince her, you know, assistant Issa that she is
little,
and she does it, whatever. And so to avoid them getting in trouble, she has to take her to middle school, and Jordan does not want to go to middle school. And so Issa Rae has to like spank Marseille Martin in the middle of the parking lot. And it's a really great, it's
fun, but it's not like, oh my God, the abuse. Yeah, like they did a good job because,
like,
you
don't
know,
spank your kids, but we won't do that. But it was still, the spanking is still so funny when like kids get public spankings. I know it's fucked up and it's not right, but it's still hilarious. Like a badass kid trying to run out into the road and their mom just grabs them and just starts beating them.
Now, beatings are not funny.
Not beating, but just like a good
a swift
tap.
Kick in the pants is kind of still hilarious to me.
I don't know. It's not okay.
Look at you trying to lie. It's not okay. But you had to talk to me for a while because I was like, whatever kids I have, they get spanked at the times calls for it. But
you sat
me down and made me read some bell hooks. So.
Yeah, we had a very, before we had kids, you know, you should all have these conversations.
Check in with us in 5 years. I'm going to be like, man, I read the, I saw one Facebook meme that was like, I'm really trying to gentle parent, but they not trying to gentle kid. Like, it was just like, I get it.
That's actually
because
perfect.
Because there is this big, like, lazy parent versus conscious parent movement right now, and people are doing the best they can to survive, and so they're like, I'm trying not to be a lazy parent, but I had to get this tablet for my sanity. So I love the no judgment. Like, do what works for you.
What else?
Except for, like, don't beat your kid.
There was...
But do what works for you.
Regina Hall, when we're first introduced to Regina Hall, she is so terrible. And unlike in Big, where... the main character in Big chooses to become Big.
Right.
Where in this case, Regina Hall is being forced to be Little.
Yeah.
And there's honestly, so many variations. Yeah, but go
I'm
for
sorry
it.
To cut you off. Honestly, the two movies have nothing to do with each other.
They don't.
We watched Big because I was like, oh, they might have like a cameo of somebody in here. No. And I also was a little bit resistant to watch Little. Not resistant, but I was like, I hate Black versions of white things. I hate Black versions of white things. They are not my favorite thing because we have our own stories. So I was going into this thinking like, this is just going to be, you know, Tom Hanks, but the Black version. And it was not. It was, I'm so glad I gave this movie a chance because I was so, so wrong. But like Ben said, she was forced by the Black girl magic to be Little.
Also, so in this video game company, the building is super sleek, super cool. But the workers are terrified and are abused by their boss.
Wiggles is so funny in these cameras.
Yeah, she's like just hanging out.
Just fully knocked out. Keep
so
going.
So here's the interesting thing. That is very accurate. So there's a book that I read recently by Jason Schreier called Press Reset, Ruining Recovery in the Video Game Industry. And in this book, he looks at the creation of video games and how those workers are intensely abused. And so you'll have, and they sort of, they don't do this explicitly, but you'll have these major companies create a tiny company and create this really cool work environment, hire people, have them work 17-hour days, 7 days a week, and then just fire all of them and declare bankruptcy at when that video game is created.
Wow.
So it's like parent company, create new company to make a video game, fire everybody once the game is done. And so,
and did these people know that they're getting fired after the game is finished? Or that's kind of
just
like a contract?
It's the industry. Yeah, it's sort of how the industry is developed. And so Jason Schreier in this book, it's beautifully written. Well, just important.
So
it's
are
important
they fired or is it just more
they're
like
fired.
A seasonal job, a seasonal
they're fired,
contract?
They're fired, but the thing is you have to look to get hired for the new video game that's going to be made.
It doesn't feel like firing. It feels like this is a contract for a 1 year, and when this game is done, the work is over.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that
you're
not
poorly treated.
But
you lose health care, you lose the consistent pay. So you're not a con. Yeah, so that's the thing.
I'm just saying, as an actor, this sounds pretty standard. It's like, I book the commercial, I film the commercial runs, I get paid, but.
But you're a programmer spending hours and hours on this.
Aren't you an actor spending hours memorizing lines? Not in the commercial example, but like.
Yeah, I think also there's no. I mean, he makes a prediction that. It's abusive. Like, well, he makes a prediction that there's going to be, no union.
Okay.
There's no union to do
that's
this.
Different, then.
And the expectation is you work, but there's no job security for the next job.
Gotcha.
Right. And if you spend all your time working on this and then it's over, but I see how, well, maybe at the acting industry is just as abusive. The only thing is when you're acting, you're
actors
not working.
Actors have a union though.
Yeah, they do. And you're not working 17-hour days, living in, in some cases, sleeping in the office, pulling these all-nighters.
And you have craft services, you have an agent. I mean, it still can be a little rough if you don't have those things. But yeah, you're right.
I just thought that was like an interesting side note.
Yeah, well.
Because she's terrible. Like that. But you were laughing through that whole business meeting. She like has all her people come together.
Yeah.
She like fat shames people.
You know you need healthcare. I was like, but it was funny.
She's not a good boss.
She's not, but like you said, like the movie is so campy and the movie is for kids. Like if you watch this movie, you're not going to be like, well, that's not real. That's not real. It's like, this is clearly catered to a child's audience, or just like a family audience, I should say. And to be honest, we really love Regina Hall in comedy because that's how we were introduced to her. She was Brenda in like Scary Movie 1, 2, 3. Mm-hmm. Like she does camp very well. So I was here for the board meeting and her like, you know, thumping somebody on the head. Good for her.
Or like there was one scene where someone was trying to eat an apple during her meeting. And she takes the apple and licks the whole thing and then gives it back to the person and says, no, take a bite of it. You're going to eat during my meeting. I was like, you are a monster. Like, where is the PR?
And then she's like, anybody else want to eat during the meeting? Issa's just like, oh, I'm fasting.
Just, again, that
so
whole.
So good.
Very Issa Rae, like the mumbling underneath the breath.
I cannot believe I did not watch this when it first came out.
Yeah.
It got like 47% on Rotten Tomatoes or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, this is going to be a bummer. And I think we both were pleasantly surprised at how funny it was. Like,
yeah,
I was laughing so much.
We had no expectations, too. Also, so.
Wiggles said, F y'all's podcast.
She's fuck
y'all.
She
does not care.
You know, sort of like a question in big that Amber and I were talking about is. So Big and Tom Hanks. As like with a little kid's mind, has sex with his coworker,
mm-hmm.
right? And like Amber and I were talking about whether that's ethical or not. Like him keeping it a secret that he's underage to her, is that like unethical, or her having sex with him, even though he has an adult body, but he's still like a 13-year-old, is that unethical? Like, sort of gets into this icky situation.
Like sexual assault by deception. Yes. I don't think it is. He wished to be big and now he's big. I don't have I've had sex with plenty of people with child like mines.
Yeah, right? I see what you're saying.
I've had sex with plenty of dudes with the mind of a 12-year-old.
But he's only been on the earth for 13 years.
But he wished to be big, so I can maybe assume that his body like sped through some sort of like time warp.
So Little does a similar scene where Marseille Martin like has this really attractive middle school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And she like flirts with the middle school teacher, and it's stunned. It sounds super cringy, but it's
they
so
did, they did
funny
it so well.
Because he's like, no, that's not okay. Like, sit down.
Why don't you teach me something? Like, it's so funny. Like, they did such a good job with that because obviously we're like, oh no, this is going to be so cringy. And I think if this movie was made in the 80s, she would have like slapped his butt or something. Like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know how these things do, but.
Because
you remember when Disney did it with Blank Check and we didn't even care. That was not even a case of deception or anything. Like Preston was literally 12 and that grown woman kissed him on screen and we were all like, get it, Preston? And now as adults, we're like, what? Who cleared this? Right.
Yeah. And there's no time travel variants, anything.
Not at all. He's just rich. He's 12 and he's got those bucks. And she fully went in for the kiss. I was like, Shay. I bet she never worked in Hollywood again. I haven't seen her since. Maybe she was on Law and Order or something, but.
That was a bad decision.
This is a bad decision. I mean, it's the Wendy Peppercorn in The Sandlot as well. You're like, who cleared this?
Yeah. Anyway, Little handled it well.
Haven't you ever had sex with somebody with a childish brain?
I mean.
Or they were immature.
No, I think like.
You have not. Oh, so you were the immature one. Got it.
Yes, I was probably the childlike brain.
Yeah, and to be clear, we're talking about over the age of consent.
Yeah, just
It's funny because the other day Ben and I were talking about like what would you do if Wild dated somebody older as a teenager? Because we're trying to do the whole conscious parenting, trying to listen to her choices and whatever. And Ben was like, well, people don't date older like that anymore or something. You said something. I was like,
no,
I
did not
fully
say that.
15 dating an 18-year-old.
No, don't put words in my mouth.
What? You said it's not that common.
I said it's uncommon.
It
is uncommon for like a 15-year-old to date like a 20-year-old.
Sadly,
is uncommon.
It is not that uncommon.
No, it happens, but I think uncommon.
Or to be texting or messaging.
Like
older.
Majority. Versus minority.
Okay.
So percentage wise, most relationships are not going to have this kind of spread at that young age between 15. Most relationships, right? Most relationships. That's what I'm saying.
She's making a face right now. Yeah. I hear that. But when I brought it up to you, I was like, what are we going to do if ever Wild was 15
and
dating an 18 year
so
old?
At this
and
point,
you were like, well, that's not very common.
Well, my response
to that
is
that's not what I said. I gave you the scenario.
Creating the environment so that she does not have the time to do that.
So it's 15-year-old Amber, right? And you're my dad. And I'm already involved in cheerleading, softball, Wednesday choir rehearsal, Sunday at church. I'm in the Black History Month choir. I got straight A's. And my boyfriend's 18. What you gonna do? What are you gonna put me in?
I'm signing up for piano lessons.
I already quit piano lessons in middle school. I don't want to go back.
You're playing the trombone or the flute or
the
recorder.
Trombone.
You are going to summer
camp.
Well,
I take band at school. I don't need
Guam. You're going to study Arabic in Cairo.
So you're trying to control my sexuality. You're trying to control how I express myself.
No.
You're trying to control me.
No. We were having this conversation. No, I 15 to 18. I'd be like, okay, like let me give you the definition of what rape is, and then I would talk to you about rape.
And what if I said, like, we're not having sex or anything, so can we keep dating? Because I did not have sex with him.
Well, that's when I... So my point of... My original point was that I would probably bring in a professional, like a therapist, because I wouldn't want to deal with your ass.
Got it.
Because, like, I sign up for parenting, but that's beyond me.
Awesome. Okay. So anytime something gets hard with Wild, you intend to hire a therapist.
Oh, yeah. I'm hiring a nanny, therapist, dog walker.
Have you seen your bank account? Because I've seen it. So I'm scratching my head right now. So, what is this grand plan where you think we're going to have all this money in the future? We probably going to be doing how we're doing now, which is fine. We're doing fine. But we don't have nanny therapists on the on-call money. But that's okay. So she's just going to have to keep dating whoever she dating. Anyway. Look at Wild.
Warp it up. Should we warp it up?
We should. We are fully parents now. Wild, are you done with us?
She's done. All right.
All right, babe. With that being said, why don't you warp up the show?
In conclusion, Little is an amazing, fun movie. It's just hilarious.
Comedy.
Marseille Martin is a little comedian. You got to look out for her. She's going to be doing lots of dope stuff, making her own films with Genius Productions. So keep your eye out for her. All right, Amber, what are we reading next? What are we doing next?
I got this. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Sci-Fi Side Podcast. Up next, we will be covering the comic series Bitter Root, ladies and gentlemen, and ladies and gentlemen's. We'll be reading volumes 1 through 3, so go ahead and check those out from your local library or pick them up somewhere.
From your local comic book store.
Local comic book. Didn't you get them from the library?
I did, which is why I probably can't. People in Chicago can't get them. So just buy them. I'll probably buy them.
So you have the only copies in the city?
Probably.
Okay. Well, Bitterroot, volumes 1 through 3. Check it out. We've already started reading it and loving it. And that's all, folks. That's all, folks. Thank y'all.